Hey everybody, today's episode is sponsored by Penzu, your personal journal in the cloud. Penzu is where millions of people keep their most private thoughts, all locked with a secret password. Go to penzu.com, that's spelled P-E-N-Z-U now, and sign up for a free account. For extra security and fun customizations, go to penzu.com/GoPro on your computer and use promo code Radical for $5 off your Pro or Pro Plus subscription. Once again, that's promo code Radical. Now let's get to the show.
This is The Radical Therapist, a space where we explore the intersections of collaborative therapy, philosophy, art, and science and technology in a post-Freud, post-psychology world.
Welcome to The Radical Therapist. This is your host, Chris Hoff. We are now at episode 18, and thanks for listening. In today's episode, we're going to be broadcasting kind of live. It actually happened a week ago, but I was I attended the Los Angeles Postmodern Therapy Gathering held at USC on April 3rd, and I brought my portable recorder with me and was able to corral a few people during the day. It was hard to do because there was so much going on. It was a packed day with a lot of content. It was a great day, but I was able to corral a few people to chat with me about their experience of the event and just some of the history of the event and also what people are kind of excited about these days. So I did that in a previous podcast, and this is the second event, the Los Angeles Postmodern Therapy event, and I had another chance to do it, so I'm going to share that with you today. But before we get there, a couple pieces of business. If you would like a Radical Therapist sticker, please email me at theradicaltherapist@gmail.com. I'm getting emails from all over for stickers, and I'm really excited about that, and I send them out to you right away. And if you feel so compelled, please, when you do get the stickers, send me a pic back with you with the stickers wherever you're at so I can put them up on the website. I like doing that. I really like seeing where everybody's coming from and that kind of thing, and who and seeing who some of our listeners are. So, and also, if you like the show and want to help us out, please go to iTunes and rate and review. And you don't even have to like the show, actually. If you want to suggest some changes, you can do that at iTunes as well. Just rate and review the show. It helps us, as I understand it, to get out in front of more and more listeners. So if you have a couple of minutes, it'd be much appreciated if you can go rate and review the show on iTunes. So without further ado, I guess I got to apologize, though, first, I'm still figuring out how to use my portable recorder, so the audio isn't where I would like it to be, so I apologize up front for that, but it is still, I think, manageable, and you'll get to hear some great conversations that I think you will value, so thank you for hanging in there with me on that. And so, so this is going to be, this episode's live from, held on April 3rd, the Los Angeles Postmodern Therapy Gathering at USC here in Southern California. And this gathering, for those that don't know, started, a couple years ago now, and I think was the brainchild of Kathy Adams and Lucy Cotter, and then they did a great job of recruiting others to help build this community, this growing, rapidly growing community in Los Angeles area, people that are interested in, these postmodern ways of working, including, narrative therapy and collaborative therapy and solution focused, et cetera, et cetera. So, and last August, they did their first Los Angeles Postmodern Therapy Gathering, and that was very successful. And this one, the second one, was held in April 3rd, and I think they almost doubled in size. So it's obviously taking off, and people are very excited about it, and there's a great community building here in Los Angeles. So Yeah. So without further ado, let's, what I did is I went and I talked to a few people about their experiences of the day, and you're going to get to hear that. So let's go check out the gathering. Okay. I'm here with Kathy Adams, the captain of the ship known as the Postmodern Therapy Gathering, and this is our second one. And Kathy, this has we are now at USC. It has grown considerably. Can you say
doubled?
Can you say a little bit about how this one has come together?
I guess much in the same way the first one did. On the Pomo Google group, I just asked who'd want to be facilitating or hosting conversations. People came forward and said they'd wanted to put it together, and a big response of people who wanted to attend.
Are you surprised by the growth that has happened in this short period of time?
A little surprised by how rapidly, how quickly it grew, and not. Like, there used to be a conference annually in Malibu, and since then there hasn't really been anything in LA. And I think people were missing having community. So,
yeah, so this has been all about community, and you're still planning to have other events outside of this kind of annual gathering. Can you say a little bit about those events if people want to get involved? Yeah.
So anyone can host a conversation, a gathering to go to the movies, a gathering to talk about a book, any kind of coming together in community around narrative ideas, postmodern ideas. And, just being together.
What was the final number for the registration for this conference?
There were, I think, 136 badges made, and there were 70 at the last one.
Wow, that's quite some growth. So, what do you envision from here? What happens next?
Much of the same. Just continuing with the same. What's different for this one is that Mike came up from San Diego to host a conversation.
Yes.
And Peggy came from Vermont.
Yes, Peggy Sachs.
Peggy Sachs. She was really, I got this secondhand, so I don't know what Peggy would say, but, Peggy's a little envious of the amount of community we can have in Los Angeles that, you can't in the middle of Vermont.
Oh, it's tough. Okay.
And today, there's people here from LA County, but there's also people, from Riverside County and from San Diego and from Orange County. I don't know where else, but you know.
Yeah, and I've seen people from I just talked to somebody from San Diego. I saw a former student of mine from San Bernardino, Cal State San Bernardino. So it's quite growing wide range of community.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to talk to Peggy, I think, later about growing community, for those that are interested in growing community if you're not in L.A.
Yeah.
So, and reauthoring teaching is a way to do that. But my final question for you is, I'm always interested in what's capturing your attention these days, what's been interesting to you, what are you thinking about these days, what would you share with us?
I guess what's most on my mind these days is my 15-year-old nephew is living with me.
Oh, okay.
So, because his mom is up at our parents' house.
So little adjustments going on.
So a lot of adjustments around, negotiating like that kind of a relationship that I've never had before. I mean, they live a couple blocks away. So I see him all the time. And the first week it was like we're on holiday, spring break. And now it's more like, you're coming home when it's dark. Yeah, dark, like I had to call and say, it's dark now? And he said, well, I think dark is different than you. And I said, okay, so dark is when I turn, when my lights in the car turn on.
Yes. So you're learning postmodern parenting right now.
Postmodern parenting is happening in my life.
Okay. That's
He's a great kid.
Yeah.
We love him.
Yeah.
But, it's like, you're going to push boundaries. Okay.
Here we go. All right. So, Kathy, wonderful job. This is quite
Thank
an
you.
Event. Here we are at USC. 100 plus people, building community.
Yeah.
Thank you for all your hard work.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and
thank you for the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
I keep referring other, not just therapists, Like, I have a friend who's an artist who I sent the one with the woman artist,
yes,
one of the first ones.
Yeah.
You know, and they're all, like, really helpful and really informative. So
I appreciate
thank you.
That. So yeah. Thank you, Kathy. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm here with Michael Giancola from San Diego. And Michael, can you tell us a little bit about your impressions of this second postmodern gathering?
It's my first, and hopefully first of many. Just had a wonderful day, and was honored to see Lynn Rosen in the morning talking about some intersections of narrative and EMDR and somatic therapies, working with trauma, and just got done working with you and some of the ways that you're talking about working with families and using narrative approaches, working with families, and it's just been a wonderful day. I also was able to present, and that was exciting. It wasn't something I expected, and I think there were some slots at the end that were open, and there was a call for presenters. So,
yeah, tell me about your presentation. Can you give me a little summary about what you went through, what you went over?
Did some work about sexual health as a movement and ways, intersections of postmodern practice with sexual health. Talked a little bit about Michel Foucault and history of sexuality and different narrative thinkers, Michael White, men's movement and ideas about what would the impact be of men working in community about problems around gender, as well as just people's impressions of ideas about sexuality, sexual health, and having sex-positive conversations, and what their personal identities bring to that, and what their professional identities bring to that. So some interesting discussion about that. And then we also looked at, Dulwich Center had a video of Cindy Darnell talking about sexual tree of life. And so there's this idea in narrative therapy of the tree of life supporting people that may have been through difficult times in their life and being able to speak to some of their values and learnings and gifts that they've received from other important people in their life. And this is building that tree, an illustration of that tree, centered around sexuality and sexual identity. So that was one of the exercises that we did.
Yeah, that's. I would like to see that in action in some time. We're starting to use the Tree of Life more and more at our clinic at California Family Institute in different capacities, but that would be a very interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about the POMO community in San Diego? How you got a pretty good, healthy group out there, or what's...
I like to think of it as that. I think of one of the bases of it anyway being the San Diego State University Marriage and Family Therapy Program. And from that program, there are some influences on me, not all of whom are still there. Dr. Craig Smith, who is not, Dr. Gerald Monk, who's there.
I'm a big fan.
Dr. Jan Ewing, who is still there, Ron Estes, who's an MFT. So some of the influences there that people who have studied directly with Michael White in the past and continue just to engage his writing and other therapy, philosophical writings, moving in a direction, I think, toward ideas about neurology and neuroscience and some of the intersections there. In a group that Jan and Ron have in San Diego, as well as just groups of people that just consult one another in ways that start various interviews and layers of reflecting teams.
Okay, so I have one final question. What's catching your interest these days? Books, movies, just ideas, or what do you think? What are you thinking about these days?
Doing some work around sexual health and sexual health as opposed to sex addiction, and ways that sexual health and sex addiction communities can share some narratives and some dialogues about how people heal from experiences of addiction that are either related to drugs and sex or sex that maybe the experience is out of control. And then how do, in my practice, men develop narratives of sexual health when they'll often just come into the therapeutic work thinking, I need this to stop because it has some consequences in my life that I really don't like the way that those look. Mm. And they come in just to put something to a stop so there won't be problems in their lives. And then getting to a place of, oh, there actually may be some things that I connect to. There may be some things that I connect to in terms of values, in terms of stories that I hold that really speak to who I'm becoming sexually and who I want to become. So something like men articulating a vision of sexual health, that I'm just enjoying seeing where that work goes.
So. Awesome. All right. Thanks, Michael. It was great to see you, and we'll see you soon, I'm sure.
I look forward to it. I look forward to hearing you on the Radical Step Therapist. So awesome. Looking forward to that.
Okay, I'm here with Maya Painter, who's been a long time. Would we call you a narrative therapist?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so yeah.
I don't want to make an assumption.
Absolutely.
Okay.
No assumption. Badge of honor.
It's great to see you.
Great to see you too.
So I'm just wondering what you thought of the day, what was interesting to you, what did you find as a highlight, that kind of thing.
So I've been a little disconnected from the narrative community because I've had a child, and so connecting professionally has been a little harder, but more and more I'm able to do it, so it's a treat to be able to do it. But some of the conversation topics I picked were really more for personal reasons than actually clinical reasons, and I found I really liked that marriage, so to speak, between the clinical and the personal as well, and not just sort of applying what I'm heard in the conversations to my practice, but to my own life. So I really like that melding of those things, and feel very fulfilled from my experiences today.
Awesome. So you really value being back in community.
I do value very much. And the last topic I went to was conversation about how to be involved when you can't go physically somewhere, but you can still be involved virtually.
Sure.
And that's maybe something that I haven't pursued as much, but...
Is that reauthoring teaching with Maggie Zach? Awesome.
Yes, and I knew about the website, and I'm like Facebook, Google friends or what have you, but some reason haven't participated beyond just sort of looking and seeing, but do feel a bit inspired to go a little further and stretch my time possibilities to make that work, because I think it'd be really valuable.
Awesome. So my final question, what is capturing your attention these days? What are you excited about? What's of interest to you just out there in the world?
Outside of narrative therapy?
Sure, or inside, outside.
Outside, inside. Well, I mean, I teach mindfulness meditation classes.
Yeah, awesome.
And one of the topics on the reauthoring teaching website was collaboration of narrative therapy and mindfulness, and it's not a new topic, but I don't know that I am as versed in it as I would like to be. And when I do my own teaching within a clinic setting, I do a little bit of it, but more sort of innately and less sort of schooledly.
Oh, right.
So I would like to actually have a bit more theoretical backup to kind of guide my work.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of mindfulness.
So. I know you are.
So keep up the good work.
One of these days I'm going to come to your center.
Awesome. Please do.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. So thanks, Maya.
Thank you, Chris. Bye.
All right. I'm here with Lynn Rosen, who's a therapist in Larchmont, correct? At Larchmont mm-hmm. Associates. And you gave a talk earlier today on EMDR and narrative therapy?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm fascinated. I know a lot of our people wanted to attend to it, but I think it was sold out like the quickest out of all of them. So they were all bummed out that they couldn't attend. So could you tell us a little bit about what you talked about in that?
Yeah, Chris. I'm trying to bridge the gap between these disparate worlds. In the early 90s, when I was first exposed to EMDR, you know, I also discovered narrative therapy, and I had the good fortune of working in a treatment center that integrated movement therapy and psychodrama on alternative ways of working with both eating problems and trauma. And so I've been on this quest to, years ago, discovered neurofeedback, trained myself in that in EMDR, and my hesitancy was kind of entering a world that really supported a binary of inside and outside, and wanting to not focus on interiority and those ideas, but finding great value in the practices and the effects. So I found a way to really bring these ideas together from a relational perspective, a relational constructionist perspective.
Awesome.
In how do you think about feelings and memories and images as social practices that people carry out in private that come from relationship and culture but are held privately. And my work has been about how do I bring those in the therapy room. And I think back, today's been wonderful just in connecting with old colleagues and remembering like the work of Tom Anderson, who would talk about the physicality of all language. And how can we view just all of this as language in a different form? Yeah. So it's finally becoming more fluid, me integrating these ideas, these worlds.
I'm wondering what your thoughts are. I'm noticing a lot more people interested in building bridges that might not have been in the past. And are you seeing that as well? That,
you
or
know,
maybe not?
I have to be honest, Chris. I feel like today I felt so supported by this community. Wow. And it was my first foray in saying, these are these different worlds that I'm putting together, and this is how I'm thinking about it. Michael White's work in reflecting on from 2004, Michael White was moving in this direction, thinking about Vygotsky's work and Russell Mears. And so revisiting that work and some of the tenets of interpersonal neurobiology and EMDR and somatic therapies, you know, there's a place that they can be bridged. And I think Michael and others were moving in that direction. And I would love to feel supported in community to put these ideas together.
And you did feel that support today.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. My final question.
Sure.
I'm asking everybody, what these days is catching your attention? What are you excited about? What's
I'll tell you. Photography is my crush.
Awesome.
So I am excited about photo voice. Like, how can I bring my worlds together and use photography as a means to tell stories and do some social action work? So I'm kind of waiting for kids to graduate from college so I can afford to do that.
Yeah, right.
But that's what I'm going to have my eye out for. How can I bring that passion into my work in some creative way?
So will we see something at the next postmodern gathering about?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, we'll wait and see, and look forward to seeing what you do. And I'm sure people are, when they hear this, are going to be interested in that, the way you're trying to bridge different ways of working, and I think that's really exciting. So thanks for taking the time.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Lynn. Okay, I'm here with Nicole Gutierrez from Alliant University,
yes.
Right? What did I say? Okay. And we've known each other for a little bit now, and so it's exciting to see you here, and I know you've been involved in this kind of work for a while. And so what were your thoughts of today's postmodern therapy gathering?
Well, I was actually really excited. I saw it because you posted on Facebook about the invitation, and I have found that I have been a part of conversations that aren't necessarily postmodern, or that I didn't really feel like I was connecting to the kind of discussions that were happening. And so I asked myself, why am I not seeking out the conversations that will be more in line with kind of the direction that I'm moving in as a therapist? So I was really excited just to find out about it. And then participating in all the different discussions today was really energizing.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Any particular one stand out for you? Or what?
The sex topic one. No one can ever remember the title, but it was something to do with sex. That one was great.
Yeah, that was Michael's. Was that Michael?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Yeah. So, great. So you found that helpful and talking about sex in a different kind of way?
Yeah. And just kind of really talking about it not only from the clinician standpoint, but as a human being standpoint, and how am I congruent or incongruent with the way that I view my own sexuality and how I discuss it in the room. It was a lot of self-reflection, and then also kind of looking at it from the perspective of a therapist as well.
That's great. So one final question for you. So what's capturing your attention these days, or what are you excited about, or what are you thinking about these days that you might want to share?
Well, something that I'm thinking about, I'm thinking a lot about sex, actually, because it's part of my dissertation. I'm thinking about discourses around sex and worldview and how the work that we do as therapists influences our sexual identity. And I'm also thinking a lot about theory and finding where I fit in the world, moving into private practice and being kind of on the other end of like a supervision dyad.
Oh, yeah. So
I'm looking at power. I'm looking at all these things.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Nicole. Yeah. Thanks. Great to see you.
You too.
All right,
no problem.
Okay. I'm here with Peggy Sachs, all the way from Vermont. Exciting that you're here. And I guess my first question is, what brought you out to LA for the Postmodern Therapy Gathering?
Well, now I would say I wouldn't miss it. Yeah. But I also was in Tucson visiting my grandchildren and who live there and are in the process of move, and daughter-in-law and son has just moved to Portland, Oregon. So they're in the process of moving there. So you're just a hop, skip, and a jump from Tucson.
Awesome. I'm glad you're here. So, and today you presented on reauthoring teaching, and I'm sure you talked a lot about community. Can you tell us a little bit about what you presented on today?
Yeah, before I do, I just want to say I have just been awestruck, really, by the community that you've been creating here, and that Kathy Adams and Lucy Cutter and others have really brought together, and it's amazing that this is just the second gathering. It was from the moment I arrived, I have been on a high the whole day.
That's great.
So many things happening here in LA.
It is very exciting that they were able to kind of restart this, get this community, and how fast it's grown. There's obviously a very need or a want or a hunger.
And I have dear friends here that that I get to see and work with and collaborate with. So that's been another draw. But you had just asked me a question.
Yeah, so can you tell our listeners about reauthoring teaching? And I know a lot of them are spread out. I've actually received emails from listeners that feel a bit isolated, and they've really appreciated the podcast because it kind of connects them to some voices that they might not have otherwise been connected to. But I know reauthor teaching does the same thing. And could you tell us a little bit about it and how to access, how to get in touch or connect? Or
absolutely. We have a website, so it's reauthoringteaching.com. And out of that website, people can really connect to an international community, a global community of narrative practitioners and teachers and enthusiasts. And we have a variety of narrative training options that really come together out of that website, in addition to resources. And the narrative training that we have workshops in Vermont. We've been telling that some people call it narrative camp now, and we this week in June, from June the 11th through the 18th, there's still lots of room, and we get camps on Lake Champlain, and Maggie Carey is coming. We also have something we call the Collab Salon, which is it's people meet in real time from across the globe, really. The third, for us in Vermont, it's the third Sunday of the month for about an hour and 15 minutes at 5 p.m. So for you here in L.A., that would be 2 p.m. And we have a topic each month and a couple of presenters usually who bring that topic to us. This coming month in April, we have two of your illustrious L.A. folks, David Marston and Laurie Markham, along with David Ebstein, and we're doing a book launch for their new book.
Yes.
And people who can't make that in real time, also we record it, so you can actually watch it at any point.
That's great.
Yeah.
One final question for you.
Yeah.
What is capturing your attention these days, or you're excited about, or what are you thinking about that you might share with our listeners?
Well, two other, just to complete about narrative training, we make online courses, and I'm really excited about some of those, including one that Larry Zucker is putting together on working with couples. I know you did a great interview with
him. Wonderful.
Yeah, and that will be part of that course.
Awesome.
And the other thing that I'm particularly excited about right now, we're really wanting to further develop our higher education resources and to create more of a network with other people who are teaching narrative practice, and to have almost like a clearinghouse of resources that people can use so we can support each other, have each other's backs, and also not feel like we have to constantly reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, that's great. I have to access that myself. So thank you very much, Peggy, for talking to us, and I'm going to invite
My
you
pleasure.
Back for a longer and more in-depth conversation in the future.
I would love that.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening, and thanks for putting up with the audio. I know it wasn't the best, but I'm going to figure it out sooner or later, so thank you for your patience. And like I said, it was a really great day. Like I said at the beginning, it was just a really great day. Lots of rich content, people doing some interesting things, you know, with Lynn, you know, kind of linking EMDR and narrative therapy. And there was talks about supervision, sex, mindfulness, covered a wide range. I actually had an opportunity to present on working with families using narrative therapy, and got to show video of three different families after doing the work, where we did some co-research and kind of talked about what works in family therapy from the family's point of view. And so it was exciting for me to show that work. So yeah, it was just a great day. So if you'd like to become involved, send an email to Kathy Adams at lanarrative@gmail.com, and or you can look for the Pomo group on Facebook. I think it's Pomo Therapists. If you just kind of search Pomo Therapists, I'm looking for it right now, make sure that's what it is. Yep, Pomo Therapy, P-O-M-O Therapists. It's a public Facebook group, and you'll hear about everything via that page. So go find that. And if you want to send me or find me, you can do it at theradicaltherapist.com. We're on Instagram at theradicaltherapist. We're on Twitter at theradtherapist. And also you can email me, as always, at theradicaltherapist@gmail.com. So my name is Chris Hoff. This has been The Radical Therapist. Thanks for listening.